can use this one.
No.
Okay.
That's no. God, thank you that we can be here this morning, and oh, thank you just for going to make us come to your God. You know, just for his life, that's precious, Lord God, and that you saved him, Lord God. And thank you, Lord, that we can just know, Lord, that you care for us every day, Lord God. You look out for us and for our families, Lord God. And thank you that you've given them forewarning, Lord God, and that they could pray. And we just thank you for your incredible, just arms with which you surround us, Lord God. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, we give you all of the honor and the glory.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Morning, everyone. Welcome.
Good morning, dear.
Just give me a second. Speak to them and hear from them what her mother was like, and she could also speak to my grandfather, and he told their stories, and they also had, there were pictures up in the house. So through these stories and through these pictures, my mother could get to know what her mother was like, whom she had never met. And God is so gracious. None of us have ever seen God. None of us have ever seen God, but he sent his son, basically himself, to come and live on the earth. And one of the things that Jesus did is he told many parables. And these parables are stories that Jesus is telling. And what these stories do is they tell us what God is like. And they tell us what it's like to be in God's kingdom, for us to be in his kingdom. And so even though we've never seen God physically, we often have these stories that we can read in the Bible. Today we're going to look at one that helps us to see God, to see him and to see something about his kingdom. So for those of you who have your Bibles, we're going to go to Luke chapter 10, verse 25 to 37, but it'll also be on screen. So I'll read for us. Chapter 10, verse 25. And behold, a lawyer stood, so this is the context running up into the parable. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So it's an important question. Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And now Jesus starts to tell the parable. Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? The lawyer said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said, you go and do likewise. So today, I want to take us on a bit of a Bible study of this parable. And I hope to show you 1 or 2 things. So firstly, we're going to start with the context, the discussion that happened before the parable. So Greg, you can go there. Thank you. So the first thing, they're standing in a crowd and this lawyer stands up and he asks Jesus, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And so Jesus asks him, well, what is written in the law? And the lawyer answers with this, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, you have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. So this answer that the lawyer gives is actually one of the prayers that the Jews would pray at every meal. They would actually pray this. So for them, it wasn't praying. They really knew this. They knew this was what God required of them. So he knew this. But let's have a look at what's in his heart. This is the lawyer. Desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? So the lawyer saying, I actually don't care too much about the neighbor thing or whatever it is. Like, just tell me what I must do so that I can go to heaven. That's what I'm interested in. So that's where his heart is at. And so Jesus then tells the parable. So this is the context to which Jesus tells the parable. So one of the techniques that you can use to analyze parables is to look at the characters of the story and to see who they represent. So when Jesus was telling this, he was speaking to a crowd, and when he specifically used, well, I guess he chose specific characters in the story to highlight certain things, and the crowd would know what a priest meant. And Levite and all of those things. So today we're going to unpack that a bit. We're going to look at who the characters were in the story. So you can go to the next slide, thank you. Shouldn't have given the answers, but I should have asked who are the characters in the story. But anyway, says the memo. But we can just look. So who are the players in the story? So the first one is there's the man who is lying next to the road. We've got the robbers. We've got the people who walk by, the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan, and we've got the innkeeper. So we can go to the next slide. We can go to the next slide. So firstly, looking at the man lying next to the road, so we know he was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, So we actually know that that was quite a dangerous road in that time. And so he was attacked. He was left half dead. And he couldn't help himself, so he was actually helpless and in need of help. He was lying next to the road, beaten. Almost don't have to, I think you've got visual pictures of that. It's not gathered, but there's a real, you can picture this man really helpless and left for dead. Then we've got the robbers. Don't know too much about them, but in the story we can imagine that they represent the enemy, or you can even say the world out there, who have now attacked this man with malicious intent. At the end of the story we've got the innkeeper. He's got a lodge or a place where the people can come and stay. And he cares for the person who has received his money, and he would look after the person. Next slide, please. Right. The next person is the priest. Who do the priests represent? So they were the mediators between God and Israel. They were the people who would do all of the sacrifices, they would do the offerings. So they actually also had to be holy, because you couldn't go before God to do these sacrifices. So they had to represent Israel. They actually had to do ritual cleansing and clean themselves before they could go into the temple and do these sacrifices. They were obviously seen as good people, so they were, I guess, if you want to think of today's day and age, maybe they were like the pastors, or they were the people in front. I've mentioned that they were holy, so God actually, there's a whole set of requirements for them of what they're allowed to do, not allowed to do, what they're allowed to touch and not allowed to touch, because they had to be holy before God. The interesting thing, one of those requirements is they're not allowed to go near dead people. So they weren't allowed to attend funerals, as an example, only for their close family, because if they came into contact with dead people, even close, it would defile them, and they could not do their duty. So the God said, you are not allowed to go near dead people. So this priest was actually a bit cautious to go near a man, and he was maybe well within his right to walk past, because he had to serve Israel. He couldn't help this person. Then there's a Levite. So Israel had 12 tribes, God chose the Levites to serve in the temple. So all of the, this is actually interesting, I read this yesterday, God actually wanted from Israel the firstborn of every family. And then he said, instead of taking the firstborn, I will choose this tribe of Israel to be my people, to serve me in my temple. And so God chose them to serve in the temple. And that's what they did. So they supported the priests. They were the hands and feet in the temple area. They prepared everything. When land was given to the Israelites, to the nations, when they had crossed over into the promised land, the Levites didn't get any land allotment. So they didn't have any property. They didn't own anything. They basically relied on what the church had given, but what the rest of the community gives. They did not have, I guess, any material things. They just served God and relied on the income from the community. So the Levite walking past, he actually didn't have much he could give the person, because he didn't really own anything. And so he walked past. And the next one is the Samaritan. So we know from what we've read that the Samaritans were despised by the Jews. But for those who don't know, I'll give some context around why were they despised? Why did the Jews not like them? And so this goes far back. They were actually, they were Jews at some point. But when the exile came, so when Babylon took over Israel and they took all of the Israelites to out and to go to into exile, some of those Jews actually remained behind in Jerusalem. But they stayed there, but then they started intermingling with all of the other people, all of the other, I want to say non-Jewish people, those who weren't serving gods, those who were not God, who were serving other gods. And yeah, and they actually rejected God and started following these other religions. And so they were really this mixed, I want to say, cultural religion sort of group. We still had this Jewish heritage, but in the Jews' eyes, they were the people who rejected God. They were the people who walked away. And so that's why, for the Jews, it was better to be a Gentile than to be a Samaritan. A Samaritan was even worse than a Gentile because you rejected God. And that's why the Jews really disliked and despised the Samaritans. And so the Samaritan man was rejected. Well, I guess the Samaritans in general were rejected by the Jews. So it was unthinkable for... That's why I guess we get this often, this context, even when Jesus speaks to the Samaritan woman, it really breaks all boundaries. And even in this story, we see this where a Samaritan is the Jewish man is lying next to the road. We can go to the next slide. So we've now unpacked the characters in a bit more detail, but I'd like to summarize it. I think it can be summarized like this, at least for the main characters, what they represent. So the priest, we can say, represents religion. The Levite represents service to God. The Samaritan, rejected, but also mercy or compassion. So Jesus giving this sermon, this parable, probably had this in mind as key things. So when you think of these people, this is what you think of. And so as Jesus is telling this, people would already have made these connections in their mind. So this morning I want to ask a question, and maybe you can turn to the person next to you. Who in the story do you relate to? I'll just give you a moment to think about it, and maybe you share with the person next to you, who do you relate to in this story? Anyone willing to share who they relate to? You guys, people, share? No. Very small group, you can share. Okay, maybe by show of hands, anyone who relates to the priest? Not the Levite. No, there's a Levite. Got many Samaritans now.
I'm in people.
Okay, wonderful. So, yes. All of them, okay, depending on the circumstances.
Yeah, it can be, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Wonderful. That's a very good small group answer, but I must remember that one. No, but thank you, Lydia, I completely agree. Someone, yes?
I would say, you asked now, I would say Samaritan. The priest, the guy wasn't there, he could have helped. The Levite is supposed to serve God, he didn't need anything. He could have asked anybody else to help him to care for a guy. The Samaritan was a rejected person between everyone and everything. He's the only one that had the little bit he had, even though he was rejected, to help the person.
Mm-hmm.
Between the three of them, any one of them could have called someone, helped him, or attempted to help him. But only the Samaritan was the one who even attempted or actually did something about the situation.
I would say I want to relate to the mercy of the Spirit.
You want to
I
relate.
Want to,
yeah.
I want to be in that compassion.
Yeah.
Not in that rejected
person, but the compassion. Yeah,
the compassion. The compassion.
I mean, like, I can imagine myself helping that person, but I still walk around it.
Yeah.
No, I think I echo that. I think we all have that desire to want to help. Anyone else? Mm-hmm. To help beyond those boundaries. So I want to ask another question. Who can relate to the man lying in the road? And so, oh, we do have some hands. So if you were the man lying next to the road, who's the one who helped you? We can go to the next slide. So, one of the big morals of the story is that, first and foremost, Jesus is our good Samaritan.
Come on.
When we were lying next to the road and we were broken because of our sin, it's not religion that saves us. It's not service to God. But it's the one who was rejected by the Jews. And I want to say that God, in his infinite love and mercy, when he saw you lying on the road, did not walk past. Even though he was well within his right to leave us there, he did not walk past, but he chose to love his son. He chose to get his hands dirty. He chose to become man. And Jesus really gave up everything to help us. And to take us to a place where we can be restored. So he really is our good Samaritan. Sean, aren't you thankful for what Jesus did? I'm going to go to a next scripture, and this is really to talk about from that place of thankfulness, just what we our response, and I'll share two scriptures. The first one is in Matthew chapter 9 verse 9 to 13. and I'll read for us. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." So this is where Jesus is calling one of his disciples. And he rose and followed him, and Jesus reclined at the table in the house. Behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." So Jesus is, this is an example or a scenario where Jesus actually goes to, again, the tax collectors who were in the Jewish community, the lowest of the lows, because again, they were the people who sold out their countrymen for collecting taxes for the Romans. So they were also despised. But Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, who again are the religious leaders of the time, in Jesus' time, and in their hearts they are saying, "Jesus, no, you should not go to these people. You should not be helping them. You should not be spending time with them. It's more important to be holy." And Jesus addresses this exact thing. And he says, and I'm actually just going to paraphrase the message out of that, but Jesus is really saying that much rather than in wanting us to do all of these rituals and be perfect before God, he wants us to have love in our hearts for our neighbors. And then the last slide. We have, he's just realized how incredible God's mercy is for us, and how we firstly received mercy from Jesus. And from that place, we go and we love others. And so the end of this parable, from verse 36, Jesus asks, "Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" And he said, "The one who showed him mercy." So Jesus showed us mercy. Now that we've seen it, we've received it. And Jesus said, "You go and do likewise." And that is, I think, the heart behind this parable. So I'm going to ask, we're going to enter a time of communion. So I'm going to ask the wonderful helpers in our small group to just hand out communion. And while they do, I just want to share. If we think about what the lawyer asked, his question was, "How do I inherit eternal life?" And his heart really was not around giving love or anything. He really had, if I have to say, a cold heart. He was really just interested in, "What must I do to go to heaven? What's the minimum requirement? Just tell me, who are the people I need to love? Hopefully they're close and it's easy, and I can do that." And Jesus shares two very important things that I take from the story. Firstly, the way to inherit eternal life is actually not by doing the right things. It's not by loving. Not even that is good enough for you to be saved. The only way that we inherit eternal life is because Jesus showed us mercy. and it's an acceptance of His mercy that allows us to inherit eternal life. And from that place of knowing that we are His children and seeing the good character of God, not trying to please Him anymore, but almost wanting to say, imagine you were, again, go back to imagine you were that person next to the road. And you were unconscious. And you wake up in the inn and you ask the innkeeper, what happened? And he said, this man came and he bound up your wounds. He brought you here, he paid money for me to look after you. How would you respond if you saw that person again? If they came to you again, and for the rest of your life would be different. You would do things differently because someone did it for you. And it's from that place that we go and help our neighbors. So we can have communion. You can turn to each other in groups of two or three. You can share what God has laid on your heart. And then as you pray, just remember what Jesus did for us and how it is that we come to inherit eternal life. So by taking part in this sacrament by breaking the bread and drinking the wine, we remember what Jesus did for us and the incredible mercy that He showed to us when we were lying next to the road.
Thank you.